Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are running down the running back position here. We've got Arizona up at the top. We're just going alphabetically this week. Arizona on the injury watch list here is James Conner. It looks like he escaped with a low ankle injury. Something that's not going to be super long term is kind of the announcement. Not sure necessarily on week three status, so we'll be watching that. Eno Benjamin had been the running back all along at RB2. Basically throughout training camp, that was the report. Even though Darrell Williams was there, that was the report. Then Conner misses some time this week. It's both Eno Benjamin and Darrell Williams with 8 carries. Williams is actually the one that gets the touchdown. He gets 59 yards, a big play, to 31 for Benjamin. It's a full split on routes as well, with Darrell Williams 24 to Benjamin 22. Don't have any confidence in the one to pick a start. So I don't think this is actually going to be an HHG situation in week three, unless we get some further clarity, with Conner out and some full-on clarity at the position other than what we know right now. So pretty skeptical on that one here. Atlanta's a bit of a fiasco. Cordarrelle Patterson is like 40% of the snap share guy. He's getting the goal line touches in a majority on third downs. But the split was this split really is on early downs, which maybe might save him a little bit. So he had 24 plays on early downs. I'm sorry, he had 14 plays on early downs with Algier having 9. They split the plays with 2 backs with 9, and then Avery Williams with 3, Caleb Huntley with 3. So again, there's a full blown lots of guys in this offense all of a sudden. Not a great situation. Short yardage, he had half of them with 3 out of 6 short yardage carries, 4 out of 7 on third down. He was not involved with the 2-minute drill. That was Avery Williams. So, again, I still see some potential here for him, but this is a little bit more clouded than I would have expected. So I think maybe coming off of that, hey, he's got running back 1 type finish in his range of outcomes, probably looking more in the running back 2 range of the position for him to feel some comfort ultimately with where he's at. By way of reference, he's expected for 15th in terms of points right now with 27. That'd be 13 and a half a game. He's got 13.3. So basically performing right at expectation with his running back 16 in total points so far. And he's a little bit further, running back 20 in terms of regular PPR points so far for the season. Dobbins is looming in Baltimore. But I get the impression that they're playing it safe with him. I kind of think this is very similar to what the Chargers might be doing with Eckler, where it's like, hey, we're kind of playing him. We have bigger aspirations, and we're sort of want him to get all the way back, make sure he's healthy, so that way when we get to the end of the season, like we have him where we want him. I kind of get that impression with Dobbins that maybe they're protecting him from himself a little bit. This is a fiasco that makes Atlanta look like competent, or Atlanta look, well put together. It was Drake last week. Drake actually plays the lowest snaps this week. It's Justice Hill leading the backfield. They split in terms of routes. Justice Hill ran 5. Mike Davis ran 5. Kenyon Drake ran 7. Just total S show in terms of all of that. Davis with the short yardage and the goal line looks. It's Justice Hill with the with the work on the 2-minute drill, for example. The early down work, it was Kenyon Drake. But the goal line work, it was Mike Davis. Short yardage, it's Mike Davis. On third downs, it was actually no backs was the leader of the running back usage there. So just, it's all over the place in terms of where they're at the position so far. Total we'll move over to Carolina. So let's put a fine point on Baltimore. I think you're avoiding the lineup situation. Fine point. All right. Next to Carolina, through 2 games, Christian McCaffrey expected PPR points at 14.3. So pretty tepid there. Only 8 receptions so far, 7.9 expected. The rushing yards, he's over expectation there. I'm hoping for more volume, right? I'm just hoping for more volume. But this offense has been playing at a bit of a slow tempo, right? They only this week had, only 58 plays this week. And he played 53 of them, ran 28 routes and 15 carries. So he's really seen the lion's share of the work. I just think he needs to be, we need to get them up 10-20% from the plays that they're running right now and hopefully get some better cracks at the end zone. But the workload's fine. I think it's still coming for him, and I think he still has plenty of upside, performing over expectation as well. So I think he's fine at present, particularly from the narratives of like, hey, they're going to sort of split touches with him to make it so that way they're saving him. They're not really doing that. It just hasn't really gone that well for the offense. That's really the takeaway there. All right, Chicago. This is David Montgomery's job. 33 snaps to 8 for Herbert. It's 11. It's 11 routes for Montgomery, 4 for Herbert. We see 2 targets for Montgomery, 1 for Herbert, 15 carries for Montgomery, 4 for Herbert. So this is really a job for David Montgomery. Again, the situation's not that great when you look at what his expected points are. It's expected for running back 22 at present. He's even worse than that. In actual points per game, he's at 11.8, and that's running back 27 so far. Again, there's some pending stuff from Monday Night Football. So underperforming expectation at kind of a low level. He's more of a flex-type consideration, especially with the low volume of this offense. It gives me some pause here going forward on where he is at. Cincinnati with Joe Mixon. No player is expected for more points per game than Joe Mixon has been through 2 weeks. He's a 14 points under expectation. 14 points under expectation on the season. He's expected for 199 rushing yards. He's at 139. 1.6 expected touchdowns so far. He's at 0. He has 10 catches. His receiving stuff's actually a little over expectation, but he's under expectation by 7 points per game. So if you're thinking, hey, which way is the regression going? Should go up a little bit. Like, he should come back towards expectation. But I think it's notable that the yards are underneath it, but the touchdowns are even more so, or even more significantly underneath his usage there. This is a full lock-on for his backfield. 19 touches, 57 yards, 0 touchdowns. P. Ryan had 1 touch for 2 yards, no touchdowns. P. Ryan's the clear injury away guy, but Mixon's the dude. Routes 25-9. Right? It's a clear Mixon job. Chris Evans ran 1 route. He's not a relevant player, so if you stashed him, you can cut him. Outside of anything, I guess, lesser than like 40 man. Cleveland, full-blown committee. 17 carries for Chubb, 13 for Hunt. Interestingly, that has not stopped Chubb from being the running back 1 through 2 weeks. The running back 1 in points through 2 weeks is Nick Chubb. He has 3 touchdowns, 1.5 is his expectation. He has 228 yards, 165 is his expectation. He's over in routes and in reception stuff, but he's basically looking like a souped up version of Derrick Henry at this point, whereas it was in prior years where Derrick Henry could be up at the top of the position, but fully in a run-centric way, very little in the passing game, kind of what Chubb is offering so far. But again, I think there's some potential hope here in the sense of about even split in the receiving game. So again, it's very touchdown dependent at this point and yardage dependent, but a potential split in the receiving routes is a notable thing. Again, he out-caught Hunt this week. 3 receptions, 26 yards, 2 receptions for 16 yards on 2 targets for Hunt. So we're going to watch that one going forward. Zeke played 41 snaps this week to 24 for Pollard, 19 routes for Zeke, 13 for Pollard. Pollard was actually targeted on 7 of those routes compared to Zeke with only 2. So just keep in mind that, like, even when you're seeing some of this stuff, hey, look at the usage and look at the production and stuff from from Pollard, it was a little fluky in terms of all of that, all of those targets on those small routes. So just keep that in mind there. Zeke, I think, locked into a pretty good role. How good the situation is an entirely different question. Zeke actually went one catch for negative 4 yards. So not going to wow anyone unless he gets in the end zone right now, which might be tough in the Cooper Rush offense. But I think Pollard even probably less trustworthy at this point, especially if you're betting like, oh, you see the receiving yardage, you say, oh, okay, like this is actually not that bad. 4 for 55, but that's super, super fluky given his usage this week. All right, Denver. Javonte played 47 of 72 snaps. He led in routes 22-8, so that's notable. 15 of the 25 running back carries, so that's good there for him. In terms of the usage overall, 75 yards on the ground for Javonte Williams, 47 for Melvin Gordon. I don't think Melvin Gordon's going away. I think Javonte Williams, like this could turn into, and we saw it a little bit in week one where it became a little bit of a check down fest because of what was happening with the game script and the production there for the Denver offense, where it just became like check down city, check down city, check down city. We saw a ton from Javonte Williams, including setting up that field goal opportunity at the end of that game. So I'd be interested to see with some of the fallout from losing potentially Judy, you know, Hamler, whatever the hell's going on with him, and Tim Patrick out, right? This is becoming all of a sudden a Courtland Sutton-led offense. Javonte Williams, the running back in this game, might be part of the second most dependable receiving option here. So we'll be watching for that going forward, and that might be some ceiling that we might not have thought about coming into the season. Detroit, I mean, their offensive line is just killing it. Detroit Lions are averaging a league-leading 3.8 yards before contact per rush. That's per True Media. This is from Austin Gale. It's a tweet that offensive line is an effing monster, is the quote there. So good there. DeAndre Swift is up to running back 3, tied with Saquon Barkley there. Massively over expectation is the note. He has 88.6 expected yards. He is at 200. So he's riffed off, I believe, 250-yard-plus rushes so far. He's a little bit under expectation in terms of receptions. He has 6.5 expected receiving, 6.5 expected receptions so far. He's got 5, but he's over in yards, 62. So he is living a little bit good in terms of some of the big plays. Maybe that comes down a little bit, but I do think the situation is pretty good. Again, and he didn't even get goal line stuff. So you actually go down and you look, like Jamal Williams is actually at running back 28 as well in points per game at present. And he, with a lot of the high expectation as well, he actually has more expected points than Swift does at present. So he's expected for 13.9. That is above what Swift is expected for at 11.8. So just think of Swift kind of living off the big plays. If you sort of consolidate this job, it's the number one running back. So just sort of keep that in mind. I don't think that's going to happen, but just those two guys alone add up to more than Swift. Or sorry, add up to more than Chubb. So for what that's worth, maybe you sort of see this as an opportunity to pivot off of Swift, but pivot really high, sort of cash in really high. I'm interested in sort of pursuing that because I think he's living off of some probably unsustainable production at present. All right, next up we have Green Bay, and they thoroughly just opened up a can on Chicago on Sunday Night Football. When we look at it, like it seems a little like week one was a little bit of a scare situation for Aaron Jones. 21.3 points per game so far. That's good for running back 5. His expectation again 12.1. So that's lower. That's lower there. When you sort of look at, you can look at that with AJ Dillon is up at 15.4. That's actually top 10. So interesting combo there between those two guys. Again, a group that would be over the running back 1 in terms of production as a duo. So good stuff there from both of those guys. Both playable, both in your lineups. And if either one of them misses time, running back one perfectly in the range of outcomes for the other if there's an injury. Next up, we have Houston. I just wrote down. That was quick. Damian Pierce had all of the running back carries, went 15 for 69. Burkhead, 2 of 9 on 3 targets in the receiving game. Burkhead ran 20 routes compared to 16 for Pierce. Pierce, all the short yardage and 32 of the 38 early down snaps. Burkhead, all of the 2-minute drill stuff and 7 of the 8 third downs. So it's really the Pierce show. And on the ground, again, what's the ceiling of that? We'll have to see. But interesting and quick change here at the position. Indy, I think, is the big takeaway here is pretty straightforward to me. This was a really bad game for the entire offense. You don't even really escape all that much with JT. You get 54 yards rushing, 9 receiving, and a catch. No touchdown, so that's a dud game. There will be better days. There should be mostly better days than this. Nyheim Hines, I think, is flexible in lineups. He goes 4 for 37 in the receiving game. Only 1 carry for 0 yards. I do think he's the injury away guy. In the event something were to happen to Taylor, I think he would be the guy that we would potentially turn to ahead of Deion Jackson. Jacksonville, pretty even split with Robinson and Etienne in the passing game, but 23-9. Advantage for Robinson over Etienne in the running game. Good news for the Achilles recovery crew there for Robinson, leading the way forward in 21st century Achilles technology. Etienne getting his work on third downs with Robinson the lead back and basically all of the other roles. Again, they were about even in the pass game usage as well. So troubling news there for Etienne. He looks more like a clear injury away guy than he is a big time high end running back one type projection. Next up, Kansas City. They played on Thursday night. Bit of a committee here. 14 routes for McKinnon, 14 for Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 2 for Pacheco. So he's a distant third. Carries, it was 8 for Edwards-Helaire, 4 from McKinnon, and 2 for Pacheco. So a little bit of a pause there in terms of, hey, we thought this was kind of going in the Clyde Edwards-Helaire direction. Not so fast is what McKinnon is saying. Again, I think this sort of regresses back towards him. We see a little bit of this on a week-to-week basis where it gets a little, fluky there from week to week with those guys. We do see overall 19.1 points per game for Edwards-Helaire so far. 2 receiving touchdowns he's the beneficiary of. So again, I think he's maybe overperforming his situation a bit would sort of be my take on that so far this season. 116 yards rushing, he's got 71 expected. So well over expectation there for him on the season. And I think McKinnon maybe closer to your injury away role than we thought earlier in the season. Next up, the Chargers. And we are seeing a little bit of the scope of Eckler's duties drop a little bit. So 47 plays for him, 19 for Joshua Kelly, 9 for Sony Michel. Eckler did have the early down work as well. Sony Michel, 2 for 3 in goal line touches. Eckler in the 2-minute drill was 6 out of the 9 snaps. Eckler only played 1 out of 5 potential running back usage plays on third down. Eckler was actually the short yardage back, so I don't know, draw from that what you will about his usage. So, again, I'd like to see them be I like him down at the goal line because he's very versatile down there and can catch as well as run. So we'll see. That's not really what we've seen a ton from Sony Michel in his career. So be interested to see how that unfolds. And I think maybe they're treating him with kid gloves in a way that we wouldn't have otherwise suspected here coming into the season. So that's going to be definitely a watch and a concern going forward. Okay, next up we have the Rams. This is a full-blown committee. It's Henderson getting the passing game work, 19 to 8 routes. Akers had 15 carries and 44 yards, 10 carries and 47 yards for Henderson. Henderson is getting the production that matters on third down and at the goal line, and Akers is basically Ronald Jones. Those are really my takeaways from this game. I think Akers is an injury away guy at this point. Daryl Henderson's probably the guy you'd rather start, but I don't have a ton of confidence in this backfield ultimately. So it's interesting, like, when you compare, like, who would you rather have, this or David Montgomery? Like, God, none of it feels particularly good, but I'll take Montgomery because I feel confident, more confident in the usage. Like, that's kind of the range which we're thinking about at this point. Jacobs led the backfield with 19 carries, 69 yards, with only one White carry. One carry from Zamir White. Abdullah played 8 of 9 third downs. Abdullah, 5 of 9 in the third 2-minute drill. Jacobs at the goal line, and Jacobs basically playing all the early down stuff. That's basically what your usage is. So we'll see going forward. I think really the competition is probably more for the scraps off of that receiving centric Amir Abdullah Bolden role than anything. It didn't seem like Zamir White was it didn't seem like Brandon Bolden was too close to that starting lineup this week. So we'll be watching for, you know, what he does. I don't think that I have a ton of faith in Amir Abdullah to be in my lineups. 8.7 expected points per game for Josh Jacobs through 2 weeks. That is good for 37th at the position. It's 8.7 points per game. That's good for 37th at the position. And in expected points per game, he's at 11.6, and that's good for 30th. So we are hoping to see some uptick here. He's about on the number for rushing. And then when you scan out, he's just not really doing a ton in the receiving game. He has 28 receiving yards, but only expected for 11.4. So we'll see there. No touchdowns. Again, if he got 1.3 touchdowns is his expectation. If he got that, like, he'd be up a little bit higher. But still not a great situation here going forward. You're going to have to hopefully get some better ceiling here. And maybe they could close out a game. Maybe that would be nice. But this offensive line's not great either. So tough there. Tough sliding for Jacobs. And honestly, maybe free agency will land him in a place that actually has an offensive line that can open some spots for him. Full-blown committee in Miami. Good luck. Tough to trust. If Mostert's available as a throw-in in a deal, I'm interested as an injury-away type. But otherwise, my God, I don't really want anything to do with this backfield. 39 snaps for Mostert, 36 for Edmonds. They split in terms of routes, 25 for Mostert, 26 for Edmonds. 11 carries for Mostert, 5 for Edmonds. I mean, it's all over the place in terms of usage. Early down work, Mostert was the guy, 29 to 17. There was some split work, 4 snaps split between the two of them where they're both on the field. 2 goal line looks for Mostert, the short yardage. 3 for Edmonds, 2 for Mostert. Third downs, it was Edmonds. 2-minute drill, it was Edmonds. So I guess goal line and early down stuff, Mostert. And the passing game stuff is Edmonds. I guess that's what we've sort of trickled back down to, and sort of it doesn't take long for teams to basically shrink Edmonds' role. That might be one of the things that we've learned through this whole process. Some stuff from New England. Harris was out, hurt. We'll be watching for his return. Stevenson was basically the passing game option after Ty Montgomery has been out. Some notable stuff. Dwayne McFarland passes along on Twitter. Reminder, Stevenson took over much of the passing down work for New England in week 2 with Montgomery out. 62% of snaps, 32% of the attempts. But here's the good stuff. 58% of the routes, 57% of the long distance, long down and distance plays. 100% of the 2-minute offense, but only 4% of the target share. Should be plenty of growth opportunity there for him in that role. And we'll watch. Again, he's the player that could consolidate this role. So if Harris is going to miss some time, Stevenson could really, really go up in usage. And we'd be watching for follow-on guys from that. Maybe add like Pierre Strong, something like that. But otherwise, it's a tough spot to figure out who to start or who to want to start in this entire offense. And I think the best potential solution is if Damian Harris misses time, it is Ramondre Stevenson. Okay, the Saints, Ingram comes in, has a really struggle of a game in replacement of Kamara this week. So it looks like from all the things I read that this is more along the lines of a potential 1 week injury than anything else with Kamara. So watching early week practice reports and see sort of what the direction is that he goes. So I think that's really going to be a key, but it's actually Tony Jones Jr. that outsnaps Ingram. So Ingram had 10 carries, only two for Jones, but Jones played 34 snaps, ran 23 routes, only targeted twice. So it's a pretty low number there. But yeah, it is certainly a key question here for this backfield going forward. How does it unfold? I am much more interested in Tony Jones, on the back end of my roster. I actually cut Darrell Williams in a couple of spots to sort of get a speculative ad on Tony Jones, because I thought maybe we'd get some opportunity in this game. And it looks like we got some of that. So is there going to be a taking over of the backfield from Jones ahead of Ingram? We're going to have to watch and see, but I'm curious as we go along in this backfield what the outcome is as the injury way guy. Is the human hand grenade behind Alvin Kamara? All right, the New York Giants, Barkley 61 snaps, 11 for Breida. It's 34 routes for Barkley, 5 for Breida. It's 21 carries to 1, and it's 4 targets for Barkley to 0 for Breida. So big time usage there. Like to definitely see all of that. And I think that, you know, when you look overall at the season, right, you get some variance from week to week in all of this. So the big week 1 for Barkley, a lesser week 2. But ultimately he comes in terms of points per game. He's tied with DeAndre Swift. And if you want to say that he is, as I sit here right now, record, he is actually third in points per game thus far, because Dontrell Hilliard has only played one game and scored 21.9 points. So he's technically ahead of him in points per game. Small sample size caveats apply. And he is second in expected points per game, actually at 21.8. So we'll be watching that as we go forward about, you know, is how does this offense look with Daniel Jones not being good? That's a big question that I have. And he, I think, has a really good opportunity, Barkley does. But is it capped by a bad quarterback situation is something that I'm interested in seeing how it goes. All right, the Jets. Breece Hall and Carter split in their running game, but I think there's some alarming passing game usage here. Carter 24 routes, 11 for Ty Johnson, and Breece Hall for 9. So if you had Ty Johnson over Breece Hall in routes run, you can take your plus, you know, 30,000 odds and cash those in. Maybe take yourself on a nice vacation there. Didn't see that coming in terms of usage. Only 20 snaps for Hall. Carter's at 42. So, Hall actually leads the team in rushing in the game, including a 23-yard rush for a big play there. But it is Michael Carter, 5 catches, 27 yards, and he went 7 for 23 on the ground. Ty Johnson, 1 catch, 4 yards on 3 targets. Basically, Carter played 50% of the usage. He played in the 2-minute drill more than half of those snaps, 10 out of 19 of those snaps. He played on third downs. It was actually Ty Johnson, interestingly. Short yardage, it was a split. Goal line, there was only one carry, and that was Michael Carter. Michael Carter got the early down work. So be curious to see how this goes along, but I don't love Ty Johnson getting involved in clouding out the situation at all. So I thought this was a committee where maybe both of them were playable. If Ty Johnson's going to be involved, I don't love it quite as much. So that would sort of be the thought. I'm not sort of concerned long-term about Hall, but if I'm going to get top 8 type running back value on it, I'm interested in exploring that market. All right, Najee Harris is second on the team in pass catching this week for Pittsburgh with 5 catches for 40 yards, 15 carries for 49 yards. Interested in what his cost is, especially with Trubisky struggling or on picket watch. Jalen Warren played 17 snaps. Notably, he ran 12 routes. That is atypical of what was happening last year. It was very Harris dominant in terms of snap shares. Not quite as much this year. So we'll see with this offense what it's going to look like. I think it's going to evolve over the course of the season, but haven't really gotten that good fantasy usage for Najee Harris just yet. But I'll say this. I think the expectation is coming. He's expected so far for 16.1 points per game. That's good for running back 8. He's underperforming it by about 4 points per game. So when you start looking at that, he's at 12.3. So he's tied for running back 23 in points per game. But he's really more like a top 10 play, top 8 play. So we'll see here. And I think you feel probably more confidence than him and a guy like A.J. Dillon, who's right next to him in expected points per game. I think you feel a lot more confident in Najee Harris. So if Najee Harris is sort of slipping in value, I'm interested in exploring it. San Francisco in a full-blown committee as well. Wilson started. TDP was in on the first drive. Split routes, which is encouraging. 80% route participation from the backfield is actually encouraging. Also, Jordan Mason, who was on in a lot of lineups or in a lot of the back end of AOD rosters this week, I think can probably be floated back, right? If you're looking, if you want to sort of nab a share of pick up another share of Darrell Williams back up, something like that, I think you could potentially do that because he's closer to a job than Jordan Mason is right now. But again, those spots should be fluid, and that's kind of the bet you make. And listen, you can recycle the work he didn't play. So you can kind of recycle him back to the waiver wire and add somebody else. I think that's the lesson we learned from that. They're basically using Debo as a third down back half the time. So for what that's worth, Wilson getting short yardage work 5-0 with a split at the goal line in favor of Wilson 4-3. So there is a split there in terms of the usage, but TDP, 14 carries after being inactive in week one. That's an encouraging sign, even though not a ton to show for it. Seattle, 49 snaps. It's pretty horrible. Travis Homer led the league in snaps, led the team in snaps, excuse me, with 20, but played all 8 of the 2-minute drills, 5 of the 6 third down plays, no goal line or short yardage, only 2 carries, so nothing really to draw from his usage other than he's kind of like a gnat at a barbecue, just annoying you. Penny and Walker played all their snaps on early downs except one third down snap for Walker. This is just an avoid for present. I'm interested in stashing, obviously Walker. I'm not bailing on Walker, but I don't feel confident putting anyone in a lineup right now with the nature of this offense. Better days are ahead for Leonard Fournette. He basically promised as much. He's expected for 1 total touchdown and hasn't scored one yet. So he's basically right at expectation outside of that. So not super worried about it. Top 8 expectation so far. And I expect better days for that Tampa offense. I think they had an underrated, difficult strength of schedule through 2 games. Rashad White, the injury away guy there. And then last but not least, the Washington football team. Antonio Gibson, through 2 weeks, running back 3. And expected points per game at 20.8. 16.1 actual points per game. So when you look, he underperformed by about a touchdown and a half. He's expected for 1.8 rushing touchdowns. He's got 1. He's expected for 0.6 receiving touchdowns. He's got 0. So again, small sample size, fluky stuff. If I were to look and wanted to pick some nits, I would say 110 expected rushing yards. He's only got 86. And maybe that's... there's some room there for one Brian Robinson when he comes back. I think what you think about that is Brian Robinson is going to step back into an opportunity where he's potentially posting top 8 type production in terms of expectation. you really love to see that. So I do think Gibson is in a really good role right now. This offense is a lot better than I think people gave it credit for coming into the season. So that's pretty exciting to see. We'll be watching that as the Washington football team, Washington Commanders, I guess now, are I think still still alive in the NFC East, which could be for a while here unless Philly can really put this away. But I think like their odds to contend in the NFC East are super low. I was just looking at it today, and the obviously their record's not there, but they've scored. They're 1-1, but they've hung a good amount of points each week. 27 this past week, 28 the week before, and over the next couple of weeks, they get Philly at home on a short rest for them. They go at to Dallas without Dak Prescott. They get Tennessee, who's down, and then they go to the Bears, which will be on a Thursday night, which I'm sure you're going to be a treat to watch Carson Wentz in prime time. But I think we could really be talking about a team where all of a sudden they're like 4-2, could even be better than that. Heading into sort of late October, in and potentially be relevant in the NFC East discussion. So that'll be fun to watch. And again, hopefully Brian Robinson is getting healthy and getting back ready to go, because I'm hopeful for him and what he could potentially pay off here as the season goes along. So that'll do it for this edition. I will update here really quickly while we're looking at this. I'll just sort of run down the running back, the PFF run grade so far. Just the top, we'll go top eight, bottom eight. Chiefs to Denver, Vikings through one game, Patriots, that's interesting. Colts is fifth. The Bears are actually sixth in run blocking, seventh for Carolina, eighth for the Titans. Bottom eight teams, so let's see, 25th is actually the Raiders, 26th is the Chargers, 27th the Jets, 28th the Cardinals, 29th the Falcons, 30th Seattle, 31st Jacksonville, and then by a large margin the worst running back, the worst run blocking grade for the league so far has been the Giants with 47.3 over at PFF. So it's nice when I'm sort of recording this late on Monday. All of the PFF stats have basically come in now. I can sort of get them incorporated and try and process them along the way. So that'll do it for this edition. I will have probably quarterbacks out tomorrow for you, and then we'll have waiver show as well. And I'd like to potentially do some more stuff on expectations as well. I'm trying to figure out how to incorporate that better without totally inundating you with numbers. But we'll constantly be looking for new ways to put it to get that for you. And again, there's like 2 hours of Dynasty content in terms of podcasts just today from AOD. So hope that keeps you busy. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.